for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, March the 30th, 2018, Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service teaching on the authority of the believer. There is quite a bit of words of the Lord before Nikki comes to speak. Meryl Miller also shared,
over this congregation, over this place, too long the devil has held this place down. Too long he has perched on the rooftop. Too long he has tried to come in and shut it down. But these wings are hovering over this, and he wants us to come in where we can feel his presence and do a new thing in us. That we will not leave here like we came. We will not be, we will be changed. And there are some of you that are sitting here that say, oh, they're just trying to put on a show up there. They're just showing out. I'm telling you, this is the real deal up here, what's going on. If you want in the presence of the Lord, begin to raise your hands, begin to worship him, begin to cry out in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have been rebellious. We have said, this is not the way. This is not God. This is not God. Who are you to say what is not God and what is God? Who are you to say that? Who are you? Because I move in strange ways. I move among my people in ways that you don't even recognize. I do a new thing in the earth every day. I am a creative God. I have never quit creating. I am continuing to create, and I want to create a place in you where I can reign in all authority with all power, because I want to make you into what I need you to be in this hour that is ahead. I need those who will not waver. I need those who will remain steadfast, who will remain firm, who will not turn aside, who will not be affected by what's going on around about them, but their face will be set like a flint before me, says the Lord, that they will move through the land and do mighty exploits, because there is a harvest out there. There is a harvest. And I need reapers to go in and reap the harvest, but I need those who are willing to lay their lives on the line, no matter what it might be. I need those who are willing to go into king's palaces. I need those who are willing to go into high places, into government. I need those who are willing to go into the schools. I need those who are willing to go into the courts, into the marketplace. I need you. I need you. I need you in my army, says the Lord. But I want you to come into training. I want you to let my Holy Spirit come in and dwell in you. I want you to let my Holy Spirit dwell in you. I want to clean you up. I want to get you set free so that you can go forth and minister in areas. You can minister in deliverance. You can minister in salvation. You can minister in healing. It's not my word said that you can go and do mighty exploits in the earth. It is time. It is time. It is time that my people begin to rise up and be what I am calling you to be. Do not hold back, my people. Do not hold back. But embrace me. Embrace the new moon. It's going to be strange. It's going to seem strange. There's going to be things that you will do that you would never thought you would do. And there's going to be places you will go that you'd say, I'd never go there. There's going to be people you'd say, I would never speak to them. But you will begin to speak to them. You will begin to minister life to them. Because you see, the word that I place within you is life. And my life is desired to be in you, and that you can spread my life to those around about you. Because in the times that are coming, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we know that the Lord is going to lift up a standard. But I want to tell you that I want you to be a standard bearer. I want you to be one of those that bears that standard of the Lord, a standard of righteousness, a standard of holiness, a standard of commitment, the standard of standing firm in the face of adversity, because adversity will come. Persecution will come because of the word's sake. But I say to you, I am greater than anything that the devil wants to throw at you. And you begin to rise up, begin to take your authority, begin to take your place, begin to say, I am more than a conqueror. 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 If God be for me, who can be against me? Do not be afraid not be afraid to take your place in the army. It's not time for you to shrink back. It's not time for you to go and hide someplace. It's not time for you to get back in the corner and say, not me, Lord, you let somebody else. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. Every one of you in this place has a commitment. You are responsible for what you are learning here. You are responsible to go and share it with those that do not know. You'd be surprised at the people that do not know anything about deliverance, have never heard it. They wonder why they're held in bondage. And it's because they have not been delivered and set free. And some of them are so bound by traditions and by teachings of man and by religious beliefs and systems and doctrines that they have envisioned that is far, far, far from me, said the Lord. And it's time that you begin to seek me. It's time that you begin to reach out. It's time that you begin to reach out and touch me. It's time that you begin to reach out and see the things that I want for you to do. It's time that you begin to reach out and seek me with your whole heart, and you will find me. Don't come to me half-heartedly. Don't come to me when it's convenient, but seek me with all of your heart. I must be number one in your life. I must be first. I am a jealous God. I desire no other gods before me, and if you place things above me, then I want to deal with you. I want to say you must put me in first place. You must allow me to rule and to reign in your lives. You cannot rule yourselves. You cannot allow another to rule you. But my Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you into all truths. He will lead you into places you can never go in by yourself. But He will be with you. He's a very present help in time of need. You will begin to call on Him. You will begin to rely on Holy Spirit even more in the days that are ahead, because you're going to need guidance. You're going to need reassurance of the places that you're going. You're going to need to know that this is the will of God. But you will ought to make a note, because your spirit is going to be in communion with His Spirit, and Holy Spirit's going to be right there, and it's going to say yes. You won't even waver. You won't even wonder. You'll just immediately go in this direction, or you'll immediately go in that direction, or you may even go behind you in another direction. You may do a complete about faith to go where God sends you. But God is sending out people. He is sending out emissaries in this nation. He is sending out those who will go, those who are not afraid, those who will get in tight places and let Him bring them out and bring others to salvation, that they may see the salvation of the Lord. I would say to you, God has an exciting time ahead for you. But you must stay committed to Him. You must stay in His will. You must stay in His word. But most of all, you must allow Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into places that you need to go. Are you willing? Are you willing? Do you want to be part of that army? Do you want to be part of that army? Are you willing to come up and fight? Are you willing to take your place alongside? Are you willing to hold up your shield of faith? Are you willing to quench the fire darts that the enemy throws at you? Are you able to put on the silent helmet of salvation to know? You don't have any doubts. You don't have any wonders. Your feet are shod. Your breastplate is on. You have on the girdle of truth. And you're going through the elect man, doing mighty exploits for the kingdom. Amen. For the kingdom of God. Not for man's sake. Not for man's popularity. But for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. Yes. For the kingdom of God. For the kingdom needs to rise up. It's time for the violent to rise up and take the kingdom of God. It's time for us to take back this land. It's time for us to take back this nation. Yes. And we can do it. We can do it. If His people, which are called by His name, will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. We don't want to turn from our wicked ways because we're comfortable in our wicked ways. We don't want to seek His face because that takes too much time. We might on Sunday, we might on Wednesday, but it's a 7-day week job. We don't want to turn from our sins. Well, this is all right. That early church might have thought it was sin, and the Bible might have said sin, but you know, this don't feel like that. But you know, if it was sin in the Bible, what's the matter? It's still sin today. Amen. Still sin today. It's time. It's time. It's time that we get it right. It's time, people. It's time. It's time. It's time. Oh, it's time to make your commitment. Make your commitment sure. To make the transaction that there's no turning back. There's no turning back. It's time to get your eyes focused on Him. It's time to let go of your circumstances. Those things that you've been prayed for, that you've been delivered of in times past, let them go. Let them go. Don't keep dragging them up. Don't keep bringing them up. If God delivers you, if the enemy comes in and tries to say, you weren't delivered. It came back. It's still there. If you open the gate and let it come in, well, sure, it came in. Yes. But I'm telling you, it's time that you begin to fasten those places. They'll secure those places, the weak places in you, Lord. The weak places where the enemy came in before, he wants to come back. But I'm telling you that you can be victorious over him. You tell him to get out of here and take his baggage with him. that you're not turning back into that again. If it's been pornography, you're not going back into pornography. If it's been homosexuality, you're not going back into homosexuality. If it's been anger, not going there. I'm not going there. I'm going to turn around and walk off, Lord. If it's been fear, I'm not going to be afraid, Lord. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. It came from the enemy. Enam of Sabtaya. All of these things that want to hang on, that want to hinder you, these little foxes that want to spoil your mind. The Lord said, it's time, it's time, it's time, my people, it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to rise up and do the mighty works of God. It's time for you to rise up and be busy. It's not left for just a few. It's time for you to take your place in the mighty army of God. He didn't call you here this weekend by accident. He called you here because He wants to empower you. He wants to empower you. He wants to lift you up above what you've been living in, the circumstances that have had you bogged down. He wants to relieve those from you tonight. He wants to rid you of all of those things. And you say, but that. He's not a God of but. He is a God of I can. He is a God I will. He is a God I do. So let Him have His way. Let Him deliver you. Let Him dig deep. He wants to dig deep, 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 deep. Deeper than He's ever dug in any of us before. He wants to dig so deep that it's going to be painful for some of the things that He wants to rid us of. But He wants to set the captive free. He wants to set the captive free. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. All the captives that are bound, all the captives, He comes to set you free.
Started last night, Brother Randy, today with Sister, speaking of prayer, Jerry today, tonight, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, calling us to prayer. He's not calling the body, but He's calling His army. There's a difference. There's the body of Christ. We're in the background. And then there is the army of God. He stands at the ready in the front line. And that's who we are. He's readying us. He has been readying us for over 2 years. He has called us to arms 2 years ago when He said, I'm coming and I'm going to do a quick thing. Be ready. Cleanse yourselves. Get yourselves ready. He told us this 2 years ago. And now He is calling us to stand up and be ready as an army, His army, to go forth in strength and might in the name of Jesus. Strength and might in the name of Jesus. You understand that? Strength and might in the name of Jesus. In His name. He says, cleanse yourselves. Get rid of all the junk that's hanging around you, that's in you, that you've been dragging around, that you've been hanging on to. Me too. I'm one of those too. I'm no different. But He's calling us to get rid of that stuff. Purify our hearts. Purify our souls. Be ready. Because things are coming quickly. The enemy is in a rage. The enemy is building and coming at us, and we are called to stand in the gap. For those who can't, for a president, seems that he's standing by himself, but there are angels all around him that is holding back the enemy. Before the election, we cried out to the Lord. We were on our faces before the Lord. We humbled ourselves before the Lord. We fasted before the Lord. We were down on our knees before the Lord, crying out, oh God, oh God, oh God. Come and save our country. Come and heal our country. Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive our country of our sins and set us free. 2 years we cried out, knowing that if Hillary became president and she put in the courts someone that was left-wing, that our country would fall quickly into socialism. Quickly. Because they would have the power to do that. Through the courts, not through the legislation or the Senate, but through the courts they would have the power to do it. And God intervened. God intervened in that. He heard his people crying out, and he stood up. And he said, I will go and I will help my people. It was not who we thought. In my heart, I thought Jeb Bush would be president or would be running. But then Donald Trump was chosen, and I thought, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Have mercy on us. There's no chance. No chance. But you see, oh ye of little faith, me, ye of little faith. The Lord told us he was going to help us. On election night, my friends and I were on our faces crying out to the Lord. Even at 9 o'clock in California, 9 o'clock at night in California, it was midnight in New York. We were still on our faces crying out to the Lord, oh God, help us, God, help us, God. This can't happen. This can't happen. And I know many of you were doing the same thing. But then the tide started to change. 9 o'clock, California time. The news media started to say, something going on here. There's something happening here. This isn't right. What the polls said and what's going on with the electorate is different. There's something happening. And my friends and I, we looked up and we saw changes in the Midwest, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Michigan, in all these states that were supposed to go for her had switched. They had switched to a man who was terribly unorthodox. But you know what? God uses men like him because they listen to what God has to say. God uses men, the ones that you would not think. David and Goliath. Oh my God. Gideon and his army. Oh, the strength that God gave them. The same thing right now. But before the election, prayers of the saints were rising up. And strongholds and walls were falling at that time. Strongholds were crumbling. Those in high places were falling down. And God was moving across this land. He was moving across this land. And we cried out to him. By the next day, Donald Trump was elected president. Oh my God. Who would have thought? Wonder of wonders. Only a miracle. Those of you who trust in the Lord and know the Lord know that that election was a miracle.
Amen.
Only by God. Only by His grace and His mercy did the tide change and this man was elected. Now, I'm not up here tonight to praise Donald Trump, but that's not where I'm at. I'm up here to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
To give God the glory.
Yeah.
I'm also up here to tell you that when we were praying, those strongholds, those walls were crumbling, those castles were falling down, and those people in high places were tumbling down.
Yeah.
The enemy never rests. He never rests. And chaos after the election, and crazy things started happening. But you know what? Also, the Christians that had cried out to the Lord became complacent again. Went back into where they had been before they realized that there was a crisis coming in our country. right now, complacency has filled this country again. And silently and quietly, the strongholds, the walls are being rebuilt. The castles of the enemy and the highest that rule over Washington and some of these other places are being rebuilt right now. And they see next year the election that they think that they can take it over. And God tonight is calling us, awakening us, telling us, get up there, pray, pray, pray. Get on your knees and pray. Get your faces to the ground and pray. Humble yourselves and pray and cry out to Him. Yes. Don't be complacent. Because the enemy will run over you. And you'll turn around and go, what happened? What happened? But God has called us tonight as His army, raising us up in strength and might in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, in His Spirit to go forth, commanding the demons to henceforth decease and get out of here. And in the same time, you're going to see healing come to this land.
Amen.
Healing. Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. He says, go out and cast out demons and heal the sick.
Yes.
Now we're casting out demons, and we know that. But healing the sick isn't quite here yet. And I question that all the time. I ask the Lord all the time, how come this isn't happening? How come these people aren't being set free from their infirmities? After we've cast out these demons that have drug them down for so many years, the Lord told me it was unbelief. They do not believe that they can be healed. They do not believe that they were healed, that you were healed when the demons were cast out of you. They do not believe it. He's coming to set that part straight. He's coming that when the demons are cast out, the parts of the body that need to be healed will be healed instantly.
Amen.
Instantly.
Amen.
By His word. This is His word, not mine.
Hallelujah.
So I ask you tonight, after you leave this camp, after you go home, every day, every morning if you can, go into your quiet place. Get on your face before the Lord. Get down on your face before the Lord. Oh God, oh God, oh God.
Thank you.
Heal my land.
Yes, sir.
Forgive us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Of our sins. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I cry out to you.
Yes, Lord.
I cry out to you.
Yes, Lord.
For mercy.
Yes,
I cry out to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For healing.
Yes,
to be set free.
Yes, Lord.
Lord,
yes,
to be
Lord.
Set free to worship you.
Yes,
every day.
Yes.
Every day get on your faces and cry out to the Lord. For our country. For this land, Lord, that belongs to Him. It does not belong to the enemy. It is His.
Right.
Yes, Lord.
It is His.
Right.
Every day, because you're part of this army. When you go home, don't get complacent. Don't get busy. Do the things you have to do. But in the morning, if you can, early, rise up early and pray and praise the Lord and thank Him for all the great things He has done for you. Let me tell you something. It's a great thing when you wake up in the morning and you see that sunrise. God has just done a great thing for you, because it's one more day that He's given you to praise Him. One more day to glorify God. One more day to lift up His Son in glory and honor and praise. One more day. And I thank Him so much that He gives me these days to glorify Him. Praise You, Jesus. Lord is good.
Amen.
He is good. How many of you ladies were here for the women's conference? How many raised your hand? It's quite a few of you, most of you. But most of you know the power the Holy Spirit had here at the conference. It was one of the most powerful women's conferences we've had here in a long, long time. Power of the Holy Spirit. The ladies were coming in the back door, and the demons, they were falling under the Holy Spirit, and the demons were screaming out. The prayer group, people hadn't even laid hands on them, and the demons were screaming and crying because the Holy Spirit was here, and they knew it, and they were shaking, and they were fearing the living God. Same thing tonight. The Holy Spirit has come down. He has called all of you to arms. All of you. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this group. I thank You, Lord, that You will bless this group, that Your hand will be upon each and every one of these people and their children that are here tonight, that are here this weekend. As You set them free, Lord, put a spirit of the living Christ inside of them, to go home with them, Lord. I ask that You bless them. Just bless them. Oh, just bless them, Lord.
Good to be at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I want to talk to you this afternoon about the authority of the believer. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for everyone that's in here. Lord, You're a very intelligent God. Nothing gets by You. You have eyes that can see, eyes of fire that can see what's really going on. And we thank You, Lord, that You do have. And You have eyes of fire that can see what's going on in our individual lives and all that's around us. And in the so-called church in this nation, Lord, You see what's going on. And Lord, we submit ourselves to You, Lord, in Jesus' name. While everyone has some authority in certain areas, it's obvious that not all people have the same level of authority in every area. Authority is not automatic, but it must be obtained, and then once you have it, you have to retain authority. There are different kinds of or ways of attaining authority, usually depending on the type of authority you desire. Some gain authority by completing certain educational requirements, some by completing training requirements, some by hard work, some by influence, some by the political process, such as winning elections, and some inherit authority, such as kings, queens. Some just claim to have authority, as did the seven sons of Sceva, Acts 19:13. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves, those are the key words, and this is how we know that they, concerning any authority, they thought they had authority. They took it upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests, which did so. Now, I don't know why these seven brothers thought they had authority. Maybe it's because their father was a chief of one of the chief priests, and they thought that gave them authority. Perhaps they had watched their father and saw what he did, or whoever they watched, and they assumed that they had authority. And so they made commandments and thought they had the authority to back it up, but they were mistaken, and it didn't turn out so well for them. Let me say this. Nothing will happen for us or through us without authority. You have to have authority. I don't care what it is. One time a man in my church asked me to come and help him load a cow. Cow wouldn't take the calf. And he said, if you'll help me load the cow, I'll give you the calf. Well, I went over there for about an hour. We played around that cow. And it's a pretty smart cow. And he had a really intelligent shoot. You know, a shoot. It started out real large and worked around. And like a, I mean, whoever designed this, I've never saw one like it. And she would have jumped the fence, but it was probably about 10 foot high. So we're there carrying on for about an hour. And the Spirit of God came on me. And I pointed at that cow, and I told that cow, I said, get in that chute now. You can leave me or not. That cow turned around and went down that chute all the way into the trailer. Now, I only had authority over that cow because the Spirit of God came upon me. I've tried it many times since, and nothing happened. Well, so they're trying to do something here, and I'm not questioning their motives, okay? I'm not questioning their motives. Perhaps their motives were pure. We don't know. But they didn't have the authority to back up what they were trying to do. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now authority over others must be granted. Our authority can be taken by force. If one person gains authority, then someone else loses authority. Authority can be shared or it can be seasonal. Authority can also be taken away, forfeited, or lost. If we have authority with God over circumstances, spirits, whatever, I want to tell you, you can lose that authority through sin or disobedience. You understand what we're talking about authority tonight? Because every one of us in here needs to have authority. Now, the right to have authority is very much coveted in all areas of society, including the area of church and religion. One night we were having a youth rally, and the Spirit of God was moving so mighty, and young people were just running to the front to the Lord. And a man that I knew, a youth, this was several churches, many churches together, and I was in charge of the service, and one of the youth pastors came up and said, I've got a word from God. And, well, you know, you got to get out of the way when somebody has a word from God. Too bad I didn't have some discernment. So I let him have the microphone. He said, he stops all this. I just believe God's trying to heal someone tonight. Well, that's not what God was doing. You understand? That's not what God was doing. And it stopped the whole thing. And I let him have authority that he shouldn't have had. And sometimes, I'll tell you, we allow people to have authority that we should not allow them to have. Some of you parents are allowing your children to have authority that they shouldn't have.
Amen.
Now, so he really threw a monkey wrench in the thing, so to speak. But God was able to recover that. I was at Jimmy Swaggart's when he, many years ago before the fall, whatever you want to call that. And the place was packed on a Saturday afternoon. They had David Wilkerson there. It was so full that we had to sit in the choir loft. And at the conclusion of his message, he was calling people forward for prayer. And there's just a wave of people coming. But this man, some man, I never saw him, but this particular man started real loud in a tongue. Speaking in a tongue, and very loud. Well, as soon as he concluded, then he starts interpreting it. He doesn't allow anyone else, you know what I'm saying? He's going to take authority. He doesn't allow anyone else to give the interpretation. And he goes on and on and on and on. And it's very harsh. And David Wilkerson said, sir, I don't accept that. This is not what God's saying. Would you please sit down? Well, he refused to sit down. And it just goes on and on. And there's 5,000 or 6,000 people there held captive by this one man. Jimmy Swaggart, to his credit, he rose up and began to lead the congregation and in a song about the blood of Jesus. And as he led it, the man finally faded out and people began to come again. So authority is very important. You're going to need authority tonight, tomorrow. Have you ever told the devil to leave and he didn't leave? You ever prayed for someone to be healed and they weren't healed? And there are books written on the authority of the believer. And it's a big subject, the authority of the believer. So that's what we're talking about. Why do people want authority? Because to have authority is the owning of power that comes from having authority. While most authority has to do with power over other people, there's also spiritual authority. We're talking about there's carnal authority. How many of you ever worked on a job? Mm-hmm. Well, somebody had authority. It's amazing. These young people get out of the house and say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, dream on. You know, somebody's going to tell you what to do. Might be the jailer locking your cell. The Marines. The sergeant telling you. It might be the policeman. It might be your boss. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. Because the world works on the basis of authority. And not everyone that's in authority is appreciated. I mean, I can't say, was Hitler supposed to be in authority? You know, David Wilkerson said something it's very good. He said, every church deserves its pastor. Just think about it. They do. I've watched this through the years. They'll elect, usually it's a popularity contest anyway. You know that? That's all it is. If his family can sing, if he's got young people, oh, that's good. We want somebody that has young people who will reach the young people. RP, whatever. And you know, every preacher has two sermons, at least two good sermons. Get him in, you know, get him in, so they'll vote him in. But authority. But we're going to talk about spiritual authority. Much has been taught and written about the subject of the believer's authority over various areas such as demons, sin, or sickness, but also authority over circumstances and other spirits. Spiritual authority, listen, has nothing to do with information, reading someone's book, education, training, age, gender, color, nationality, personality, or just by claiming to have it. It cannot be inherited or passed along by the will of man. We're talking about spiritual authority. There's not a store where you can go buy you a package of spiritual authority. Now, Elisha could not obtain authority. What did he want? He wanted a double portion of the Spirit of God that was upon Elijah. That's authority. Okay? And spiritual authority. But he could never obtain it unless he was obedient to the will of God as spoken through Elijah, the man of God. What did Elijah tell him? If you see me when I go up, you'll get it. If you don't see me, you don't get it. And you know what a trial he went through to be there. All the discouragement, people saying, you know, and even Elijah, the man of God, why don't you stay here? No, I'm not staying here. I'm following you wherever you go. You're not going to lose me. Now, just as in worldly affairs, and I'm going to say this. You want authority? Joseph had dreams about having authority. His family bowed down to him. Did that come free? That was very difficult, wasn't it? He went through some hard things. So let me tell you this. If you're wanting authority, get ready to pay a price. Many people try to have authority without paying a price, though. But I can tell you in the end, the truth will come through, okay? Just as in worldly affairs, a believer may have authority in one area, but they may not have authority in other areas. You may have authority over sickness, but not authority over demons or authority over finances or whatever. Do you understand? Any and all true authority comes from God alone. Not that men don't have authority. You know, you can, to an extent, you can buy authority. If you got the right looks and the right education and all, you can have authority. But it's not the authority of God. Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Then Jesus called his disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, the authority that Jesus granted his disciples at this time was temporary, given for an occasion, for a season, or for an assignment. But just as the spiritual gifts, we're talking about and found in 1 Corinthians 12, the nine spiritual gifts, I'm sure you know what the nine are. Do you? You can name the players on the football team, but you can't name the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the gift of baking a cake and all this ridiculous stuff, you know. And God, I'm just going to give you my gifts. I'm going to tell you something. God don't want your stinking gifts. He don't want them. Before God could ever use Moses, he had to get rid of his gifts. All that he accumulated in the house of Pharaoh. The Bible says at that point he was a man mighty in word. But when God got through with him in 40 years on the backside of the desert, he had to confess that I'm slow of speech. You understand? God don't want your gifts. He doesn't want your talents. Well, I don't. That may offend you, what I'm saying. I don't know if it offends you or not. But you know, all they're going to do is get in God's way. I'm just going to bring them and lay them on the altar. Well, good. Leave them there. And let Him do what He wants to do in you. Without that being tainted by your giftings. Now, I know that's not what you hear out there, okay? I understand that. Oh, I just wanted to give you a picture there. Here you come with your proud look. I'm going to give Him my gifts. Really? Why would He want our gifts? Why would He even want them? He's got something better, folks. Praise God. I hope I made that point pretty good. Now, the nine gifts, they do not operate without the anointing and without a cause. Hear that, without the anointing and without a cause. So it is with authority granted by God. Same thing with authority granted by God. For instance, in the nine gifts, it's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, the gifts of healing, not the gift of healing. It's not an ongoing, on-demand wisdom, knowledge, and healing power. You have a word of knowledge. You don't have all knowledge. We have a word of wisdom. We don't have all wisdom. We have gifts of healing as they're needed. We don't own any gift, but gifts are distributed. It says it right there. The Holy Spirit distributes them as He wills according to the need when the need arises. And as the Holy Spirit decides on a case-by-case basis and according to our faith and our obedience, there's conditions for authority by gifts. You know, if I just had these gifts, I'd have all this authority. Now, we're not going to say this, what I just said, with our mouth, okay? We're not, I want authority. We're not going to say that. It's just a secret lust in our heart, okay? We don't own any gift. We cannot work our gifts as a loose cannon, doing what we want to do with them. Gifts are not tools to gain anything for ourselves or for our ministry. The early church had to pray for a renewal of authority. They had authority. And what we mean by that is they had authority. Peter and John, talking to the lame man at the gate, said, "Such as we have, we give unto you." What they have? They had authority over that condition that man had. Lame from his birth, about 40 years old. They had something. They had authority. Do you have authority tonight? You know what? And the pitiful thing is, for the most part, the church is just beat from pillar to post. Always, you know. I don't want to be mean, and I know from my own experience. Don't you think I'm mean? But if you do, that's okay. But what have we absorbed with our own little problems? Come on now, our own little problems. Somebody looked at me wrong. I can't have the truck I want. I can't have the car I want. I got 3 bedrooms. I really want 5. You know, this on and on it goes, and just absorbed with those things, caught up with them. Praise God. Well, the early church had to pray for renewal of authority after they were threatened by the religious leaders of their day. They were threatened because they gave what they had to this lame man, and he leaped up and walked and ran. So they're in trouble over it. They're threatened.
What are they going to do? Now, with authority comes boldness, right? You know if you have it or not. You will know if you have it or not. If you don't know, you don't have it. The Holy Spirit led them to pray for boldness. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Acts 4. Their boldness, their authority had been threatened because they were threatened. So they got together, and of all things they prayed for, they didn't pray for the religious leaders to drop dead.
Right.
They didn't pray for, you know, some kind of a political upheaval or whatever. They got together to pray for boldness. And that boldness, they said, as they prayed, you see what they understood by the Spirit of God, that boldness would come as God would stretch forth His hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus Christ. And they knew if that happened, they would have the authority, they would have the boldness. 2 Corinthians 10:8, "For though I should boast," this is Apostle Paul speaking, "somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us," where did he get it? "Which the Lord has given us for edification, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." Now, any authority that comes from God has a purpose, and one of the greatest purposes is edification. Not authority to be sent so we can be seen. You know, so people invite us to come speak in their church or whatever else, you know. But it is for the edification. I'm going to say this verse is not saying it, but we could say this, not for your destruction. When Paul had to write that church about the man in the church that was committing a very moral, immoral sin, and he said, "I didn't do it to be hard on anybody. You know, but you wouldn't do anything about it. You should have. You should have taken authority over that situation and dealt with the man and put him out, but you didn't. So I have to do it." If we think that having authority is a fun thing, it's not always so fun, folks. Sometimes it will actually put your life on the line, your friendships on the line, your place on the line, your position on the line, if you take the authority that God is giving you. Now, knowing that any and all spiritual authority we have comes from the Lord will help us understand what the Apostle Paul means in the following verse, Titus 2:15. He's speaking to young Titus. He says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you or disregard or take you lightly." We know that when someone commands or rebukes, what was he told to do? He was told to speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. If God gives you authority and you refuse to use it, you will answer to God for it. Right? Oh, this is fun to have authority. Well, it brings a great responsibility. Authority does. In fact, he said, "Don't be many teachers," speaking of authority, "because you'll incur greater wrath. More is expected of you because you have this authority." So when you're in your prayer closet, nobody's listening, you're praying for authority. Remember, it could cost you dearly. Okay? Now, we all know when someone commands or rebukes who has no real authority, then that person is mostly ignored by men, angels, and spirit beings, including demons. And we already read that about the seven sons of Sceva. The devil knows who has real authority with God. He knows. I'm telling you now, he knows whether you have authority with God or not. He knows. And have we been playing around and not taking care of this thing of authority? You know? We've been so busy, whatever. And you're not going to get authority from God sitting in front of the TV for 5 hours every night. Or on the internet. Or playing your video games. Or whatever else. The devil knows who has real authority with God, and so he utterly disregards and can even harm those who do not have legitimate spiritual authority over them from God or over the devils. As we said in the case of the seven sons of Sceva, attempting to take authority over one demon and one man. Storms, fig trees, water turned into wine, animals, such as the unbroken donkey that Jesus rode on into Jerusalem, loaves and fishes, dead bodies, a fish with a coin in its mouth to pay taxes, leprosy and all manner of sickness and disease, unclean spirits and devils, and even the death that overtook Jesus on the cross, all of these and more obeyed Jesus because they knew that He had authority over them. I tell you, the devil knows whether you have authority or not with God. He knows. You can read all the books you want and say all the words they tell you to say, but the devil knows whether you have authority or not.
Right.
Jesus had authority because... Now, we're going to explain how you get authority and how you can keep authority. And my God knows we need authority. The church needs authority. I tell you, the church in America is totally ignored, mocked, and laughed at. Has zero authority in this nation. It's a joke. I got an email from our denomination. They're having a men's conference called Courage. And so it said, and they're really pushing this hard. And so it said, watch this cool video. And I thought, well, I want to see a cool video. So I pressed it, you know, pushed it. So it comes on, and he's really selling this thing. Doesn't tell you what it costs to come, but he's really selling it. Oh my, you come. He said, bring your drones. We're going to have drone races. You know what those are, drones. He never said bring your Bible. They're going to throw hatchets. See who's the best. They're going to have God's stunt team, guys on motorcycles doing stunts. I'm going to forget some of the things he was telling us. But, and we have invited a video gaming truck to be there so you can play your favorite videos. We're going to have motorcycle rides and golf. And on it went. Never one mention of seeking God. So I said, well, I wonder what it costs to go to this. This is, and he said, by the way, bring your 14-year-old or older son. And I looked on there to see what it cost. $167 if you register early.
Wow.
And bring your 14-year-old son or older because that's another $167. I'm telling you what has happened, folks. What has happened? And it's not just, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I tell you, when these churches, and they turn the lights down, and the colored lights, and the strobe lights, and the smoke machine, and all the music that will deafen you, the devil laughs at it. Unless we get real pious right now, there's some things that we're doing that he's laughing at. And I want to say this with all humility, the proof's in the pudding. The proofs in does something happen or does it not happen. And I'm not talking about making a bunch of noise. Hey, on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal and one man of God. And they made some noise. And if you want to get where they got so crazy, jumping on the altar, cutting themselves, said till the blood was gushing out and screaming and hollering. Let me tell you, authority's not in that. But that one man, after they poured water on the whole his sacrifice, three times, filled the trench around it, prays this simple prayer, God, if I'm doing this because you told me to do it, in other words, if I have authority, send your fire. And the fire came. And burn up the stone of sacrifice, licked up the water, and they all fell on their face. Now where's that kind of authority? Praise God. I've been places where they'll pray for it and then they'll say, now, did you get something from God? And they're pressuring people. Oh, yeah, I got something from God. Making people lie. You know, saying what they want to hear. So, let's don't just talk about those churches that are doing that smoke machine stuff. All right? First time I was ever saw that, I didn't know they had those things. And I was sitting in a church in Mexico, and I was to preach, the big church. And they turned the lights down, and they had the strobe light, the colored lights, and they moved the chairs back, and they danced for about an hour. And then, thank God, they had air conditioning. And then they put it all back together. But while they're doing it, then all of a sudden, I can't hardly see anything. And I look over there, there's smoke coming out of this machine. And they were disgusted, and it was they overdid it, and I had to go outside and breathe. Oh, what authority. You can't buy authority. They don't make it in machines or whatever. Okay, so. Jesus had authority because he obeyed his heavenly Father in all things. That's why he had authority. Not because he went to school, because the religious leaders said, how does this man know all this? He didn't go to our schools. He didn't graduate from our colleges, our seminaries. Matthew 8:8 descends here and answers and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. He intercepted Jesus on the way there, and he's saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick with a palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. So then the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and he'll be healed. Now listen to this, for he said, verse 9, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, truly I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now this instance here, this recording in Scripture, is not all about faith. You've got to hear what he's saying. This captain in the Roman army understood the principle of authority. The principle of authority is that to have authority, a person must be under a higher authority before they can have authority. We have to be under higher authority before we can have authority. That's what he said, I'm a man under authority. And the men under me obey me because I'm under authority. If we're not really under God's authority, the authority of the Holy Spirit, we have no authority. Because we're dealing in spiritual matters. What does it mean to be under authority? It's to be submitted to or obedient to another one's authority that's over you. That was the problem with the seven sons of Sceva. They were not under the authority of Christ, and the devil knew it. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? Now many teach that all one has to do to obtain authority and maintain a spiritual authority is to have faith in the words that you speak. But it didn't work for those seven men, did it? Just have faith in the words you speak, the authority of the believer. And what are the words that these men spoke that they had faith in? They said, we adjure or command you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. But listen, they were simply parroting the words they had heard Jesus and Paul had spoken. Or maybe they read it in a book. Somebody wrote a book, you know. This is the way you do it. Turn the page so-and-so if it's this kind of condition. Speak these words. There's a church near us, and I wasn't there, but this is what people told me. And they were having prayer on a certain day for sick folk. And so they'd say, tell us what's wrong with you. So they'd tell them, they'd look through this book. I'm not going to tell you who wrote the book, but they'd look through the book and find that situation and tell them what to pray. And you pray this, they're going to be healed. But there's no authority behind it. You can't get this out of a book, folks. I said you can't get it out of a book.
Amen.
You can't get it listening to the tapes or watching it on TV and mimicking what you see. Because that's what these seven sons did. Simply parroting the words. They were very impressed with the glorious results that followed the words spoken by Jesus and Paul. So they thought they could get the same results. They thought, if we say what they said, we'll get the same thing. In other words, these seven men were trying to work a formula they heard about or they read about, hoping to gain a name for themselves. And that's what it's all about. So they'll be invited somewhere to speak. The whole process sounded good, but it didn't work because it doesn't work. It's never worked. It will never work. Words and ideas mean nothing unless we are under the authority of Christ. Unless we're constantly submitted to Christ, it won't work. And I'm gonna say this to you. If we're going along and we rebel against God somewhere in our heart, maybe we think it's a little thing, you lose authority right there. You lose authority with God. God's not playing games about this. well, God has to have me. God needs me. No, He doesn't. I said, no, He doesn't. And that's so presumptuous. Anyway, Saul, King Saul thought that. God has to have me, but I'm going to do this like I'm going to do it. Your authority may last, seem to last for a little while. But the man, the Roman captain said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And so they do what I tell them to do. What did it mean for Christ to be a man under authority? First, it meant that Christ was not living under His own authority, but He was living under the authority of another. Jesus Christ was not living His own life, but He was living the life of another. John 6:38. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I want to tell you tonight, if we're doing our own will, there'll be no authority with God. Christ was declaring that He was not here to live His own life, but the life of another, the life of His Father in heaven. Philippians 2 tells us that Christ emptied Himself of the authority He had as a Son of God. He made Himself of no reputation. Therefore, like us, Jesus was totally dependent upon having authority by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit being upon Him. And what did He say in Luke chapter 4? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me. And then He went on to say to preach the gospel, set the captives free, open blind eyes, and so forth. That's where He got His authority, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There was a couple, and they had been with us for a while. And let me say this, if you won't be under authority, you won't have authority. And they would not be under authority. I won't go into all that. But finally, the assistant pastor and I, the second time we have to talk, we say, you know, I believe it's time for you to go. It was hard to say that. Very hard. Because they're going to take their checkbook and go with them. They're not going to be there helping anymore. And then, and as they were walking out, I said, you don't have to come to this church, because they'd got to where they went, wherever they wanted to. But they were there, you know, living in our buildings, eating our food, and all this. And as they walked, I said, in fact, I don't want you to come back here. So on the next Sunday morning, he was out there working on their car, and my wife and I were walking over the church. We lived there in one of the buildings. We live in a two-room apartment upstairs. I own a 3,000-square-foot house I gave to my daughter and her family. My wife owns a 2,700-square-foot house in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, if you're looking for a house up there. And we move into a little over 400 square feet. But God told us to, and it's okay. Anyway, we were walking over there, and the Spirit of God came on me. I didn't work something up. It came on me. He came on me. And I started speaking in tongues, and the Lord gave me a word, and I turned around and went and talked to the man. And I told him, the Lord says He's going to chase you out of Peerless. Well, he interrupted and said, no, Pastor, the Lord's leading us out. Whatever. I can't tell you the rest of it, but I had another word. I had from God another word, because I'm not doing that myself. Look, folks, I have to put my head down on the pillow at night. I have to answer to God. I'm not lying to people. Amen. I'm not doing it for any price. Well, I told him this certain thing he's doing right then. I said, every time you do it, it's a lash on your back. And the Spirit of God was so heavy on me, I turned around, walked away, speaking in tongues all the way into the church. Well, we came to a camp here, and while we were gone, well, anyway, when we got back, they were gone. Exactly like the Lord said, He chased them right out of Peerless. I have no authority unless the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. You can't work that up. You can't mimic it. And God doesn't like it if you try. Well, anyway, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. That's called living the life of another, or another living his life through you. Being crucified with Christ is not a temporary on and off way of living. It's not just attempting to do the Lord's will when the need arises, but it's to always live under the authority of Christ. I've seen them, you've seen them. They get in some kind of trouble, their marriage is on the rocks, they did something, and here they come. I pastored the same church for 40 years in this office, and here they come with a big old Bible under their arm, sitting on the front pew, you know, doing all, being religious. You hadn't seen them in a while, and they're there. But when things let up a little bit, it cools off, where'd they go? Now, we're not talking about living under His authority like that. Okay, that has an ulterior motive, and God smells it from heaven. Praise God. John 7:1, after this, Jesus moved from place to place in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking authority to keep an opportunity to kill him. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now, listen to this. His brothers, therefore, said to Jesus, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you do, those that believe on you. There is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, where else did Christ hear those words, if? Well, the devil told it to him in the garden. In the wilderness. Okay, told him that. If you be. What did they say to Jesus on the cross? If you be the Son of God. And here it is coming out of Jesus' own half-brothers. If you do these things, show yourself the world. Now here's the world's thinking. Seek to be known openly. Put yourself out there to be seen and recognized. Show the world yourself and what you can do. Let me tell you, that's a false authority. These churches, where do you... Somebody mentioned, one of the other speakers I believe mentioned, church on every corner. And if they can, they'll get on the freeway. And they build these big buildings. I don't know, over in Dallas, you drive around, and Sister Pastor and I were somewhere one time. We took some furniture to help a man, and we're driving along, and we saw a steeple sticking up, for miles. I said, we got to see where this is. Oh, my goodness. Well, we drove over there, and first we saw, his church. He's on TV, if I can think. So we saw his church. But behind it is a Baptist college. And that's where it was. Sticking up into the heavens. My wife and I were west of Austin and visiting some friends of hers. And I saw this cross. For miles you can see this cross sticking up. I said, we got to see that. So we go over there and look at this cross. And the Lord gave me a song. Our cross is bigger than your cross, so our church is better than yours. Right. Trying to be seen. Are you hearing me?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.